Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Everybody, this is Brad Locke, producer of the Double Coverage podcast. Now, the reason you're hearing my voice right now is we had some technical issues with today's recording. We're still going to have a podcast. It's going to be a truncated version with Parrish and Logan. We're going to talk about first the preview of MSU's bowl game against Miami of Ohio, and then Parrish will have an update on the new coaching hires over there in Oxford. But due to these technical issues, we have a shortened episode, but we do have Parrish and Logan talking a little bit of Ole Miss and Mississippi State football, and we will start things off with Logan.
State will actually hold its final practice early Saturday morning, and they'll let the players go home for a few days to kind of do the same thing I'll be doing. Yeah, they'll probably have to celebrate their Christmases early or either after they get back from the bowl practice, but they'll have until the night of the 21st off. They'll actually start practicing down in they're actually practicing in Clearwater. So they'll practice in Clearwater on the 22nd. So they'll have a few days off to kind of go home and celebrate, spend some time with their families. Dan Mullen's always kind of done that. He's had to kind of tweak the bowl schedule since they're playing over Christmas. Usually it's a little after Christmas by several days when they actually have to be there. A lot of times they'll have to report on the 26th. Well, this year they're playing on the 26th. So just a little bit different schedule this year. But I guess you have to do those kind of things when you go to a bowl at 5-7.
It is a little bit different, but they've gotten the extra practice. That's what coaches always talk to us about. Has anybody stood out, and have you been able to see any of it? I know in the past Dan Mullen has opened up a little bit of bowl practice, but at the beginning of this, he did not, did he?
I got to see two practices last Saturday and Sunday were open to the media and to the public. And that's the first time I've seen state practice since their very first practice way back in August. So it was neat to see, you know, some of the younger guys out there that we don't get to see very often. And that's kind of what those practices were about last weekend. A lot of the younger players were out there running around doing some different things. Obviously a lot of the veteran players, a lot of the starters were sitting out. They kind of went through a few drills, but when it came scrimmage time, it was mostly the younger players out there, and it was kind of neat to see some of those guys and kind of how much they've progressed since the first time I laid eyes on them back in August. And, one player in particular, Parrish, that really impressed me was Reginald Todd. He's a wide receiver that they have that they redshirted this year. It was actually a former basketball signee for Arizona State. And, he decided he wanted to play football. So he ended up signing a late scholarship to Mississippi State last summer, and had a really good frame, about 6'4", around the 200-pound range, just really, really athletic, and brings all those basketball skills to the football field, too. So I'm really expecting some big things for him in the future for Mississippi State. They signed three wide receivers last year that were 6'4", and all those guys are really going to help them in the future. So only one of those saw the field this year, and that was Jamal Couch. I actually wrote a story about him this past week in the Daily Journal. But, you know, I didn't get to see a whole lot of practice. I think they're going to open up maybe a couple of days of practice, at least partial days of practice down in Clearwater. So I'll have an update on how they're kind of doing next week when we meet. But, right now I got to see some of these younger players. And like I said, Reggie Todd was kind of the guy that stood out to me.
How do you think they match up in this bowl game?
I really don't know. I mean, they should have the advantage at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I haven't seen Miami of Ohio play at all this year. I mean, you know how it is on Saturday's fairs. We don't get to watch a whole lot of other teams. I know the MAC schools kind of play throughout the week, and I don't watch those games. it's a game that Mississippi State should win. I mean, but at the same time, Miami Ohio's on a roll. They lost their first six games of the year and turned around and won their last six. And the main reason why they won those last six games was they got their quarterback back midseason. He hurt his knee back in the spring and missed the first six games of the year and finally got healthy. And once he got healthy, he just kind of picked that whole team, put them on his back, and was kind of the thing that made the engine go by those last six games. And it's one of the situations where State should have the talent advantage, should have the depth advantage. And I think that's going to go in their favor. I looked at, you know, some of the betting odds. That's the safest pick of all 40 bowl games is Mississippi State to beat Miami of Ohio. So, you know, if you're a betting man, you know, you can put your money on Mississippi State. But if you like those long shots, put the money on the Red Hawks.
You know, Logan, I do watch some of that action on Tuesday nights, man. I'll be flipping through, and I'll stay there for a little bit and catch some of those games. I'm just a college football guy. I'll watch it if it's on, usually no matter who it is. Hey, folks, lots of football news coming out at Ole Miss this week with Hugh Freeze naming his offensive and defensive coordinators. We're going to talk about that and some other movement on that Ole Miss coaching staff in a little bit. Before we get there, I want to remind you about some other podcasts to search for to keep up with everything in Northeast Mississippi, some productions of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast coming to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And for all things high school sports, check out Prep Rally with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. That's coming to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here for you, usually on Thursday with double coverage, but you know, there's a little bit of flexibility there. Kind of all depends on what's going on, and with basketball games coming any given night now, we'll move around a little bit. But talking Ole Miss football, Freeze hiring two coordinators. These positions became open, Logan. It was kind of expected. You would think that there was going to be a change defensively, and it was announced right before the Egg Bowl kickoff that Dave Womack, Freeze's the only defensive coordinator he's ever had as a head coach, first at Arkansas State and then also at Ole Miss for 5 years, that Dave Womack would retire. So that created one opening. And a little bit of a surprise move was when Freeze parted ways with Dan Werner, his offensive coordinator. So basically, you've got your two highest coaching positions that you have to fill there. The Werner move was a little surprising. When you go back and look at Ole Miss's numbers, you know, they were a pretty good offense this year with yards and points. And, of course, you lose your starting quarterback. You have a lot of injuries on the offensive line, and there was some struggle at the end. But when you peel back the layers a little bit and look at what Hugh Freeze was looking for in an offensive coordinator, how he hired, and there were areas he wants to improve that where the Rebels had just struggled. And one, that's the running game in general, but specifically in short yardage, keeping the chains moving, getting first downs, keeping drives alive, and in the red zone, wants to be better in the red zone. And the name he came up with was Phil Longo of Sam Houston State. There were several names that kind of bubbled to the surface, but Longo came about early. And you go back and look at this guy's numbers at Sam Houston, and they were very good, and it comes with a little bit of an asterisk because it's you know, it is a lower level of football, and he hasn't been his best in playoff games for Sam Houston. In fact, his most recent experience was a 65-7 loss by the Bearcats against James Madison in the FCS quarterfinals. That was a week ago. And it was only a fourth-quarter touchdown that kept Sam Houston from being shut out in that game. Now, obviously, he's not responsible for the 65 points. But the bottom line is Hugh Freeze runs this Ole Miss offense. It's his offense. It's why he was hired. He wasn't hired because he was a defensive coach. You know, go back to 2011, the end of the Houston Nutt era, just the struggles on the offensive side there. And Ole Miss folks and that search committee could look and see what Hugh Freeze was getting done at Arkansas State, and he became the leader and ultimately got the job for offense, and that hasn't changed. But he wants somebody who is not going to come in and try and implement their own system and do things their own way, but he does want somebody that he can bounce questions off, somebody to kind of challenge him, somebody to look at how Ole Miss has done things, and somebody to improve the run game. And that has been a history the history of success for Phil Longo at Sam Houston State. The defensive coordinator spot was a name that kind of got on everybody's radar early. Wes McGriff, the defensive backs coach at Auburn, he spent one season at Ole Miss, and it was Hugh Freeze's first year. He was the defensive backs coach at Ole Miss. But the thing here, Logan, is he is known as a very good recruiter, and that's something that frankly, Ole Miss just needs more from these positions. And I think that's that's something very important that Wes McGriff is going to bring to the table. Now, what he will do as a position coach and as a coordinator, he's not been a coordinator before. His position group has had success at the places that he's been, and he's been a lot of places, several SEC schools, and there have been several jobs where he stayed just for a year, one of those being Ole Miss back in 2012. He comes to Ole Miss from Auburn, where the Tigers made some strides defensively this year. They were very good in the run zone. They were among the national, in the red zone. They were among the national leaders in scoring defense, in red zone defense, pass defense efficiency. So his position groups have done well, but you go back and just look back at Wes McGriff's time at Ole Miss, and he got a lot of credit for his role in that 2013 signing class, the class that brought first-round draft picks Laquon Treadwell, Robert Kimdichie, and Laramie Tunsil to Ole Miss. And another interesting thing, Logan, with the NCAA investigation that's going on right now, you know these guys had to be very, very carefully vetted. And to me, the fact that you would hire Wes McGriff right now just kind of said that you've signed off on everything that he did with that 2013 signing class, that there's nothing you saw that was not completely above board with regard to the NCAA. So a couple of interesting hires there for Hugh Freeze in his two coordinator spots.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to have to do some more hiring at Ole Miss, too. In the Chris Kiffin, didn't he leave to go join Lane staff down at Florida Atlantic?
Well, it certainly looks like that's the case. Guys in Chris Kiffin's position don't typically turn down coordinator offers, and that's what he would be, defensive coordinator at Florida Atlantic for his brother, Lane Kiffin. I don't know that it was such a strong tie of I've got to coach with my brother as much as it is, a career advance move. So, he's been offered the job. Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say he'll take it, and Freeze will be looking for a defensive line coach as well. And there have been some other rumblings about possible change on the Ole Miss staff with safeties coach Corey Batoon could be leaving for another opportunity. And we hear a lot of talk about the possibility of Grant Hurd, the wide receivers coach, to Indiana, where the new Hoosiers coach is Tom Allen, the former defensive coordinator. Excuse me, he was IU's defensive coordinator this year. He was linebackers and special teams at Ole Miss, but coached with Freeze for many years. He's the head coach at Indiana now, and Grant Hurd's name has been mentioned as a possible candidate on his staff. So those are just some rumblings that are out there, nothing official on those moves, but it's odd, Logan. It's like it's all coming at one time for Freeze's staff right now, and some of these moves are career moves, and some of them have been encouraged. You know, this is a staff at Ole Miss that's been together a long time, hasn't seen a lot of movement, very little movement. In fact, there aren't too many that have gone on. Wes McGriff was one, but a lot of these guys were original coaches. Tom Allen, of course, was another, but Dan Werner, Dave Womack had been with Freeze from the very beginning. Jason Jones, a cornerbacks coach, who is still there and apparently will remain, came in that second year, and so he's been there since then. Chris Kiffin had been with Freeze since Arkansas State. Not a lot of movement on this staff. Grant Hurd, again, a coach that had been with him since Arkansas State. and may still be, but that's just a name that's out there as a possible move.
And that's it for this edition of Double Coverage. Again, a shortened episode due to some technical difficulties that we experienced, but we do appreciate you tuning in. Quick programming note, no Double Coverage next week, as Logan and Parrish will be taking a little bit of time off for the holidays, but they'll be back in 2 weeks, so be sure to look for a new episode of Double Coverage the week after Christmas. Again, you can find this podcast in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at doublecoverage.djournal.com. So until next time, for Logan Lowry and Parrish Alford, I'm Brad Locke. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas.